Welcome back to Money in America with Randall Turner. My special guest is Jack Wagner. He's the Pennsylvania Auditor General. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Randall. Pleasure to be on your show.
Well, we're glad you're aboard. Can you tell us, what exactly does the auditor do in Pennsylvania? What does that mean?
Well, the Auditor General is the independent fiscal watchdog of state taxpayer dollars. So when I say independent, I truly mean independent because you are independently elected by all the people in Pennsylvania, the 12 million plus population that we have. It's the second oldest statewide elected position, second only to the governor. Goes back to prior to the Civil War, actually. It's different than many states because in other states it varies as to how the fiscal watchdog, the role that they play. Some, it's an appointment by the governor. Some, it's a confirmation by the Senate. It's a independent elected office. So Pennsylvania is a little different, and I would say much better because, honestly, I only need to answer to the people of Pennsylvania and not other elected officials.
Well, where does the Pennsylvania budget stand right now? Deficit?
Pennsylvania budget is a budget that is the most challenging in our history. We have a deficit between $4 and $5 billion and a $28 billion deficit, or $28 billion budget, which means that our deficit is somewhere around 15% of the total budget. Consequently, we have some very difficult challenges facing us.
Okay. Now, does that include the pension obligations, too, in that number?
It does not include the pension obligations. Obviously, there is a contribution out of the general fund to the pension obligations. The pension obligations will increase this next fiscal year. They will dramatically increase in the year 2012-2013.
Because?
We are faced with similar challenges that other states are faced with. However, I think Pennsylvania is a little bit better off, and I stress the word a little bit better off, but the pension challenge is a huge one facing all states in the country.
Okay, but why is it going to jump up so much in 2012?
Because there is a structural problem in terms of more people have retired, less people are working in state government, which means that there is a lesser contribution. The state itself has not kept up with its contribution levels, and as everyone knows, there has not been a return on investment similar to that of 5 or 6 years ago. Consequently, for a variety of reasons, there is a lesser amount within the fund and greater commitments going forward.
Who is the one that actually sets the funding amount for the pensions?
Actually, the General Assembly does, but there are a number of different funding amounts. The actual rate by which people retire is determined by the General Assembly. There was recently a piece of legislation at the end of last year passed by the General Assembly for all new hires going forward that will help 10, 15 years down the road. It does not help sufficiently enough, though, to reduce the increased contribution level that is necessary in the year 2012-2013. In addition, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, through the budget process, makes a contribution into the fund, and in several years in the past, that level has not been what it should be.
I'm sure you know in the private sector, very, very few outfits offer pensions anymore. The percentage just keeps dropping and dropping year after year. Is there any move in the state to make this a defined contribution plan instead of a defined benefit plan?
There needs to be movement in that direction. Traditionally, it's been a defined benefit plan. We need to move to a defined contribution. That would be done by the General Assembly. There is also a significant discussion of a hybrid system of a defined benefit / defined contribution.
And you think that would really think it'd work?
Well, we have made a series of recommendations. We have audited the statewide pension plans. As Department of Auditor General, I also audit 3,000 local pension plans in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Yes, there needs to be structural change, and we need to move in that direction.
But it's going to take a whole lot of willpower from the politicians, right?
Yes.
But an informed...
It takes leadership by the governor and the General Assembly.
But an informed electorate should help to promote that, wouldn't you think?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. There is a much more informed electorate when it comes to pensions, obviously for the reason you stated, that the public sector pensions today are better than the private sector pensions. The public wants to see a change, and I believe that change will occur in Pennsylvania.
I don't know if you saw, but New York State Governor Cuomo had an article, had an editorial in the Wall Street Journal, then there was a follow-up editorial yesterday by the editor of the paper, talking about the moment that the governor took office, he wanted to roll back their budget, but he found out the hard way that everything, the baseline for their budget goes up 13% regardless of who's in office. Does Pennsylvania have a similar quandary?
No. Pennsylvania spending is determined annually by the budget proposed by the governor and ultimately passed by the General Assembly. Our budget has increased at a pace greater than inflation, but that can be corrected through proper controls in spending. As Auditor General, I have put forth a number of suggestions and ideas that I hope we will talk about today, which I was really thought was the purpose of getting on the show.
That's next.
Where we can responsibly reduce the cost of spending in a variety of ways within our budget and bring our spending under control.
Yeah, I just wanted to set all the groundwork to help people understand how budgets happen and how who's in charge of what before I got to your paper. But you're right, you have a wonderful paper that I was reading. You put out a list of ideas for responsibly reducing the cost of state government. How did you come up with the list? You were looking for a magic number to meet, or how did you work this?
Well, we do at least 4,000 to 5,000 audits a year.
Wow.
Of state government, including state agencies that receive state money. Our list or ideas of how to reduce the cost of government in a responsible way, in a sustainable way, so that you would have annual savings, not just one-time savings, grew out of the audits, special performance audits and special reports that we have done analyzing the spending within state government. Some of those areas are similar to other states, such as the medical assistance program, simply eliminating the error rate in terms of those who qualify and those who do not qualify.
What does that mean?
We believe you could save hundreds of millions of dollars a year.
What does the error rate mean? I don't know. I'm sure a lot of my listeners don't know. What does the error rate mean?
The error rate means that people are receiving medical assistance that simply don't qualify. That their income level may have changed, their family structure may have changed, they may have picked up a second job, but they're still receiving payments. And generally speaking, it's not the individual. It's a capitation, a monthly capitation payment to an insurance company. And in the process, state taxpayer dollars are being spent that should not be spent.
Okay, so I'm interpreting what you're saying is basically the people who don't qualify are still getting the money, and there should be a way to make sure that people requalify.
Generally speaking, through contracts with health insurance companies, they are receiving the payment. They receive a monthly capitation payment whether the person receives medical treatment or not, and
right.
So therefore they are receiving the payment, not the individual, and the individual is not the beneficiary. So by correcting the error. In other words, making certain that people who qualify are the ones that are actually receiving the medical assistance, them and them only, you reduce the number of payments and the volumes of payments, of which the majority is going, again, to insurance companies, and you save taxpayer monies, not only state taxpayer monies, but a combination of state and federal monies that go to medical assistance.
Well, I see on your paper here, you're estimating $436
million? $436 million a year. That's state savings There is an equal contribution of federal dollars, so the savings could, in essence, in Pennsylvania, annually be exceeding $1 billion.
Wow.
There are a variety of other programs where we have made suggestions, which, incidentally, those savings could be rendered jointly with adjoining states. The consolidation of pharmaceutical drug purchases. We have 17 plans in Pennsylvania that benefit a whole group, wide variety of group of citizens, from corrections to a medical assistance. And we believe that just by consolidating the purchases of pharmaceutical drugs within Pennsylvania alone, we could save $50 million a year if we consolidated in the purchasing of those drugs with New York and New Jersey. We could save in excess of $200 million a year, and so could the adjoining states.
So what happens to make that happen? What, does there have to be some kind of legislative action to make
it? Yes, it takes the leadership of the governors primarily in terms of consolidations of purchases. Obviously, if you are purchasing drugs individually, you are paying a higher price. It's the same theory as that Walmart uses.
Right.
By
yes.
purchasing products at large volumes, they're getting a lesser price, therefore they sell a product at a lesser price. The same holds true in the purchasing of pharmaceutical drugs. Do pharmaceutical companies want us to do that? No, because they are making more money in the process. So
right.
it takes the leadership, I believe, of governors and key members of the General Assembly to make this happen.
Well, we've got a couple more minutes. Let's go down through a few more of your items here. You have the one intrigued me was reducing state contracts. You had $200 million first-year savings. But there again, what does that mean, reducing state contracts?
Well, in Pennsylvania, we spend over $4 billion a year through the contracting process. Many of the contracts are sole-source contracts. Some are emergency contracts that are not truly emergencies. Some are bid, but you only have one bidder. And many contracts have multiple change orders in them that amount to a sum greater than the original contract. I strongly believe in competition in the contracting process, especially where you're spending public money. And if you don't have multiple bidders in a contract, it's a bad deal for the taxpayers. The American way is competition. The Pittsburgh Steelers, when they play a football schedule, they have to go out and compete every week. There's no given wins in terms of the amount of wins and losses. And incidentally, we hope they win this Sunday.
That's
but,
us too.
Yes. Being a Pennsylvania and a Pittsburgher. But the same holds true in the contracting process. You cannot award contracts without competition. That occurs too often in Pennsylvania state government, that much change. And if it were to change, we could save literally hundreds of millions of dollars a year by simply sharpening our pencils and getting a better deal in terms of the bidding process.
A couple more questions before we run out of time here. First, if somebody wants to see your list of ways to reduce cost, how do they find this online? Is there some place they can go online?
Sure. Simply go to our website, www.auditorgen.state.pa.us. You can have access to our audits and our special reports on cost savings.
All right. Now, I guess the last question, I love what you put together. I'm very impressed. But how do you make it all come about? Do you need the people to call their representative and apply pressure that way, or how?
Well, generally speaking, it takes the leadership first and foremost of the executive branch of government, which is the governor's office. Many of these ideas we have floated to the previous governor and now the new governor and the new administration in general. We think there's some interest. One that we haven't talked about is structural reform related to Department of Corrections. Keeping in mind, Randall, there are really three dominant areas of spending in state governments in general. Education, public welfare, and the criminal justice system. Mm-hmm. And you really need to go in and analyze the three if you're going to reduce your cost. We think that can be done with a scalpel rather than an axe and dramatically reduce the cost. In corrections, Pennsylvania has the fastest growing prison population in the country. We need to be continue to be tough on crime, but we can be smart on crime. And 40% of the people incarcerated in state prisons are nonviolent offenders. In other words, they've never hurt someone in committing a crime. We think through better alternative sentencing programs, better treatment programs, we can also dramatically reduce our costs within the Department of Corrections.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time. This has been the Pennsylvania Auditor General, Jack Wagner, and this is Money in America with Randall Turner.